Now, on the line, I have Paul Wright. And Paul's going to be talking to us about Prader-Willi Syndrome Awareness Month. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Not too bad, Michael. How are you?
I'm in great form, thank God. The weather's a bit, a bit damp this morning, but I believe it's going to be beautiful and sunny for the next couple of days, and I'll be out golfing.
That sounds good to me.
Now, Paul, to start us off, maybe you'd explain to us how you're involved with Prader-Willi Syndrome.
Okay, my son Mark, he's 19, he has Prader-Willi Syndrome. We had a very early diagnosis with it a couple of weeks after he was born. It came as an absolute shock. So we've been dealing with it for quite a while. Mark's quite good. He copes pretty well with the syndrome. Like, he has his challenges. Every day is a challenge for him. But a very outgoing, happy young man, let's say, very sociable. How does the syndrome affect him? It's quite complex. There's a lot of issues around the syndrome. What it's primarily known for is are people become obese because they're constantly craving food. There's the dysfunction in the hypothalamus in the brain. It's a genetic disorder. And what happens is our people never gain any satiety from food. So as soon as they eat, the next thought is, where's the next meal coming from? So that leads to a lot of issues in their lives, a lot of anxiety, a lot of behaviour problems around that as well. So they really find it very, very hard to cope with life. I can't even start to imagine, Michael, what it must be like for them to not have that fulfilled. It's well recognised out there that even to the UN are saying you can't deny people access to food, and it's mental torture used by various nations, whatever else, over the centuries to deny people access to food. It really just torments people. So for Mark, like, I'm aware from the minute he wakens in the morning to the last thing at night time, what's on his mind all the time is food constantly. But we try and control it. He's very compliant with us. There's a good understanding. But like, there's slips every once in a while where we realise he's gone off and he's taken food somewhere else, or he's foraged food, or he's used people to give him food. And that's understandable because food is used everywhere throughout society, and every single day of the week, every celebration, every family occasion, it's constantly on TV, it's surrounded everywhere. So I just imagine it's a real torment for him. And as I said earlier, I just can't start to imagine what it must be like. I wouldn't like to walk in their shoes, let's put it that way. But that's only one part of the syndrome. Our people have real struggle to weight gain. It's not just because the food aspect of it. That's only one part. If you can imagine, it's like a formula. Mother Nature's probably given them the worst formula possible. If you go to your doctor and you want to lose weight, he says, look, you've got to exercise more and eat less. But Prader-Willi, they're constantly trying to eat. They then have, that's called hyperphagia, that's the clinical term. Then they have hypotonia, which is low muscle tone. So for Mark to exercise, if he did an hour in the gym, he's only going to burn up half the amount of calories that you or I would, because his muscle tone is so low. So that's another aspect of it. The third aspect, if you want to make it even more complex, the metabolism is a lot faster than you or I. So the calories that he doesn't burn up get stored much quicker into body fat. So the cut each way, it's very, very difficult. So what happens is we really have to have very, very strict calorie controls. So he would be on about half the calories that you or I would be on daily. And we have to really strictly control that.
And that's with him having a craving for food the whole time.
Exactly.
So if you can imagine, you're only eating half what you're eating now, but you're really, really hungry all the time. But you can only eat half of what you normally eat. It's difficult to get your head around. Now, I've come across Prader-Willi Prader-Willi syndrome a number of years ago through Colin Grassick.
Ah, I know Colin well, yes.
Who's a local boy here. And and I've recently saw a photograph of him and he's looking brilliant. He's slimmed down and he's looking absolutely brilliant. So hopefully that keeps going.
Yeah, Colin has, I'm slightly aware of it. I'm not fully aware of the situation, okay, because it's kept private. But I am aware that Colin is in residential now and he's in a Prader-Willi specific residential home. So there's very tight controls on all aspects of food in that environment. So he's in the environment now that he is probably... I have met Colin now in a number of years, but I can just imagine because I've seen these similar houses abroad. What happens is because there's no access to food, their anxiety levels come right down. So any person in a Prader-Willi house, they're much more relaxed because they don't have this, let's say, as you and I would have it, the fridge calling you every evening saying, "There's food in here, come and get me." They know the food is secured and it's kept away, so their anxiety levels come down. And because they're in a controlled environment, the weight gain is controlled, and in fact, they start to lose weight.
Yeah, I have to say, what the photograph I saw of him was, he was looking absolutely tremendous. He had lost, I'd nearly say he's down. He's half the man he used to be, and Colin exactly. Colin was a big man.
Yes, and I'm aware we've other close friends as well that have had similar issues, and we were just talking to family there yesterday. I won't mention names, but. The brother has lost 10 stone in the last couple of months. Now that's losing a person. Now, it's an incredible amount of weight to lose.
And it just shows that if you can provide the correct environment and supports, it can be maintained. It can be, the person can be looked after properly.
Absolutely, and that is one of the issues we have in the country. We don't have the right facilities. We have two facilities in the country. One was opened 15 years ago and the other was opened about 18 months ago. So we're constantly trying to get the right residential for our people and respite for our people, because it's not just life changing. And it's a cliche that's life changing for people. This really is life changing, but not just for the person with the Prader-Willi. Their siblings and their parents and everybody else associated with them, it's a total radical change in life. Like, if you can imagine, Michael, I'm not sure of your parents, but your basic instinct as a parent is to nurture your child, to give them food.
Indeed,
and
yeah.
Sustenance. But that goes totally against what nature is telling us to do. So it's a real difficulty for family environments to deny our people their food.
And I was going to say there that it's really important that we do have respite facilities, as you say, not just for the person with the syndrome, but also for the families, that they can get a bit of respite, that they can get a little bit of time to build up their own strength.
Yeah, a lot of people think respite is like a fun time. Respite really is giving not just the person with the syndrome the break, but the family the break to recharge, because this is constant attention. It's every waking moment, it's requiring control. And there's no two ways about that. You really have to watch absolutely everything all of the time.
Indeed. It's a 24-hour job, 7 days a week.
And it's not just as well with the food. It's a very, very complex syndrome. We deal with perseverance as well, which is constant questioning or them caught on the same topic or subject. And it's like a repeated recording. But the difficulty with that is it needs your attention, because you could very quickly agree to something that's not correct. And then in their mind, this is correct, and they will persevere with that for weeks on end. So it requires your attention all of the time. It's very, very difficult to describe, but you really have to be on the ball constantly. So that's where families really struggle. And then that would lead, if there was something wrong there, it would lead to anxiety with the person, or you could have outbreaks of bad behaviour.
Now, May is PWS Awareness Month.
Yes.
And you're doing some fundraising, and I have to say, badly needed fundraising. What are you asking people to do, particularly today and over the weekend?
We're looking for people to come onto our website, PWSAI, and register for a 5K walk or 5K run. Right now, I'm sitting in the car with the rain falling outside. We're about to try and go out and do our 5K walk now. Mark is in CRC, and his fellow students and staff are planning to do a walk in St. Anne's Park. So we're hoping we just get a little bit of a break in the rain that they can head off and do the 5K walk. So the staff have all decided, yeah, we'll fundraise for the syndrome. It is a very rare syndrome. We only have about 100 people in the country. So it's low numbers. So it's very difficult to raise funds. But look, exercise is good. And we constantly try and get our people out to walk and exercise daily. So that's where we've tagged it on to the 5K.
Yeah, and it just doesn't have to be a walk. It can be a run, or if you want, like me, you can actually go out and play a round of golf, and that'll get your 5K in and throw a few bob into the pot as well.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I never thought of the golf. Yeah, 5K golf would be great.
Indeed, why not?
Why not?
And anybody can do it. And it is, if I can say to our listeners, this is a little known, and we have to be honest, it is a little known syndrome in this country, but it affects quite a lot of people.
It does affect quite a lot of people. We know of 100 people in the country. There are possibly more that aren't associated with us. So we're not exactly sure on the numbers. It is a low number. But it does affect quite a lot of people because it does have an impact on the family and the.
Well, that's it. It's 100 families, and it's not just the single family. Then you have friends and relations are all. It's one of these things that affects a community.
It does, and I have to say, you've mentioned Colin there. I'll mention Mark. I won't say any other names. Our people are lovely people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they are absolutely great. And I when they get together, we have a family gathering every year where all our people get together, and there's a real sense of understanding with each other. When played with, it's hard to describe. It's only when you see it when they're together, there's a total different understanding. They communicate on a different level, even, but they're so nice. They're lovely people. They understand their challenges. And when somebody has a difficult time, they all understand this, and they don't fuel it. They try and help each other. They're just super people. I'm incredibly to it with how good they are and how they cope and how difficult it must be for them.
And I'd like to turn around and ask the listeners to go on to www.pwsai.ie. Just read up about it. And if you can at all, get out and do a 5K walk or a run or a game of golf or whatever, and throw a few bob into the pot. It will be much appreciated, and it's really badly needed. So is there anything else you want to talk to me about, Paul?
The only other thing I'd mention, Michael, is that we actually have an international conference coming up next year in Limerick. And we're for such a small nation, we got ourselves out there, and we had people come from all over the world about Prader-Willi. And that's April of next year. So we will be trying to raise more and more awareness before then. Because it is a little-known syndrome, and it's probably known for the wrong reasons in the media more than anything else. I'd like to highlight actually how great our people are rather than the struggles they have.
Indeed, I have to say, any time I've met Colin, he is a lovely guy, and so the rest of his family.
He's actually a great guy.
Indeed.
He's a super fella, yeah.
Paul, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I wish you all the best with the fundraiser. And it's something that I've wanted to do a piece about for a while, because I think it is so unknown in its own way in this country.
Listen, Michael, thanks so much for your time and support. And yes, I'd love to even do a follow up piece at some stage, and come along and talk about something else with them.
Indeed, sir, that would be great. Paul, thank you very much for coming on.
That's great. Thank you, Michael.
All the best. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you then. Bye-bye.
There we go. That was Paul Wright from the Prader-Willi Syndrome Association of Ireland. And if you want to know more about it, go on to www.pwsai.com. .ie, and if you have a couple of bob to spare, throw it in there this weekend. It will be very much appreciated and badly needed.